Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I am Bob Ginsberg, and I am here with Tom and Melissa Gould, as we've always been together. How many years? I don't know. It's been a lot of years.
Wow.
And this is the show where we invite your questions. You're invited to call in and join in the conversation. The number here is 888-627-6008. We not only want to field questions, but we want you to share some experiences that you may have. So we always want to hear from you. We already have some callers coming in. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do first, but let me just say, some announcements. As many of you know, our grief retreats sell out very quickly. So the grief retreat we have coming up this month in Connecticut has been sold out for a long time, and there's a very extensive waiting list, and also the same for July. But there are some spots available for our retreat in California. I think at last count, we had about 10 spots left. So if you feel that you need to be at a retreat, that's your opportunity. Or if you know somebody that will be there, you can find out more information on our website. Also, our summer raffle is up and running. You can enter a raffle to win a reading with one of five certified mediums. It's $5 a chance. It helps us raise some money. And that raffle, you can look under events on our website, and In the July month, you'll see the raffle. Before we get to some questions and some calls, I wanted to get your opinion on this. So, my grandson, you know, who's 8 years old, he has one of these artificial intelligence, MetaVision things, and he's addicted to it. And you know, you see him flailing around the room, and you know, he just can't get enough. Of course, it's all games, you know, and I'm not interested. I was interested in it, but I'm not interested in the games, but I'm interested in the experiences, you know. And I put one on the other day, and you know, I'm floating through space and seeing the stars and like the planets. And it dawned on me that, you know, if I had the expertise, you know, I would develop a program, an experience of the afterlife, you know, based upon what we've been talking about and what we suspect the afterlife, like the different dimensions and floating things that you're doing there. I thought that would be pretty cool. Yeah. But then I started to think, what if in this program of the afterlife, there was a way of kind of downloading your loved one that's in spirit. So not only would you'd be experiencing the afterlife, but you would have some sort of a connection or meeting with your loved ones. And the reason I bring it up is, would you find something like that helpful or hurtful? You know, because on the one hand, you know, it's not a true reuniting, but on the other hand, I mean, a lot of people love to look at photographs and, you know, in this other setting. What, you have an opinion on that? Maybe our listeners do, but you know, yeah. would you think you would enjoy that or not?
Well, I guess it depends on how well it's made. The quality of it could be interesting. I think ultimately it would leave you empty because you know it's not the real thing. So I don't think it's as beneficial as a dream visit or a medium reading.
I'm thinking about one, I believe it was last year in Connecticut, where I brought that old style telephone with the dial.
Yeah.
For our attendees to go off into nature, dial the old familiar number that they used to always call and speak to their loved ones. And that was based on an experiment or an experience, I believe, in the Pacific Northwest, where there was a phone attached to a tree in the woods. And just somehow being out in nature with the sounds of the air and the wind and the solitude and phoning your loved one was very beneficial for people. So this would be similar, and you're thinking of giving it a, you know, an actual face. So
yeah, well, it's something to think about. I mean, as you well know, I mean, everybody deals with grief differently. So some people might find it enormously helpful, and some people might not. But that's the nature of grief, you know.
Imagine walking into a room, Bob, and just seeing everyone wearing those headsets, and maybe they're all talking.
Well, you know, that's what it's going to come to. You walk into a restaurant now, and nobody's talking to each other. Everybody's on the phone. So, like, maybe in 5 years, everybody's going to be wearing goggles. You know, it's what's the point? You know, it's like,
you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it because you know, as we go on our grief retreat, it's all about filling a toolbox full of tools that you can use to help you with your grief. Some of it works, some of it doesn't, but you know, the more we can offer gives everybody a good shot at finding something that will help them.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So why don't we do something different? Let's go to a call first before we get to some of the other questions.
All right.
So we have, Merlene on the line from Boston. Merlene?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I enjoy listening to it, and I'm going to the grief retreat in July.
Oh,
can't wait. I'm really excited. I need to be here. My experiences with signs are, I was engaged to this wonderful young man, young, and our parents didn't approve, and we got separated for 40 years, but we never stopped loving one another. And then we met up again in 2018, and our love was just as strong as before. And we had a couple of years together, and then he developed an illness and died within 6 weeks. And when he was telling me that he was dying, I don't know where this came from, but I said, I will find you. And that's before I knew about spirits or anything, but it just was so knee-jerk. But and then after he passed, I went into his car. It was his car. I opened up the console, and there was a dental floss, and I turned the dental floss over it. And in his handwriting was hi. And that startled me, but I knew he was there. And then I rented a car and turned on the radio, and he was in a heavy metal band, and he was the singer. And I'm in this rental car, turn on the radio, and there he's singing to me in this rental car. And then every time that I walk a lot, he knew that, and I'd be going around this pond. And in the very beginning, every time I would go, I would find a painted rock. Some would say, I love you. Some would say, one day at a time. And I knew it was, I just felt it was from him. And then, but the biggest one was one night I was just grieving him, and so I decided to text him, and I'm crying and I'm texting him and I'm saying, show me a sign that you still remember me and you love me. And then I fell asleep, and the next morning I woke up, and that text message was surrounded by pink hearts.
Oh, my word.
I was going to say these are some things that it's hard to question. Now, I have never ever met anybody that wrote high on dental floss, so you know, you can't. So it's hard to question things like that, right?
Yeah. And I also saw when I first started walking around the pond a white squirrel, and an albino squirrel, and I had never seen it since. But
oh my goodness!
Yeah,
those are wonderful, wonderful for you to have and to remember like that. I'm just so excited that we'll get to see, hear more, and when we get to see you at the retreat in July.
Yeah, the signs have stopped and I miss them, and I'm wondering what I can do to, I mean, I don't know, do spirits move on after? I mean, he died in 2020 and I'm still grieving him immensely, and but I haven't received any signs lately. Do they move on?
It's not unusual. I mean, for a lot of people, the signs come on very frequently. You know, the closer you are to the passing, and then they kind of wane. Who knows the reason? It could be that you don't, you know, need them as much. Like you got the strong messages across to you. Now you're kind of on your own to figure the rest out. Or maybe, you know, sounds like a person that was very, very active and doing all sorts of things. So who knows what they're doing on the other side, you know? But of course they know that they're going to see you again. So, but there's not much that you can do other than to do what you're doing now is remain open, set your intention, ask them to come through and see what happens.
Yeah.
And share your stories, sharing them.
Yeah.
And we believe, you know, our loved ones can hear us talk about them. So as Tom will tell you, write them down and share them with others.
Thank you for sharing those with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And we'll see you soon.
Right. That's right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I have another experience to read, but before I do that, let's go to Susan from New Jersey. Hello, Susan.
Hi. Hi, welcome. How are you?
Tonight? Okay, good. Welcome to Signs of Life.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Did you have something that you wanted to share, or you had a question?
Well, I've had many experiences through the years. I've seen different channel mediums through the years, a few in particular that have been terrific, and found the communication is very clear at times, especially shortly after passing. But even afterwards, within a year, 2 years, when you go to a medium, there you can almost have a conversation with people, you know, loved ones that come through as if they're still alive. And it's just, I just find it very interesting. I just wondered what your thoughts are.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, of a good mediumship reading is you feel like you're in a direct conversation with your loved one through a third party. So, I mean, if you, it sounds like you got a strong reading, and if you felt like you were speaking with your loved one, I mean, you know, what's better than that? I mean, you know, unfortunately, not every medium is the same, and not everybody has the same experience, but there's nothing better than having an extremely evidential reading. I mean, what could give you more, you know, hope and knowledge and comfort than knowing that you that your loved one still exists, just not in bodily form.
Yeah.
So
I just wonder, do they? I lost someone very close to me, this fellow that I lived with. It'll be just a year in 2 weeks, and I feel like he's around all the time, but I have not gone to a medium in probably maybe 3-4 months, and like I feel like he's around, but you can't communicate with him because of that, And because obviously the clear communication is with a medium, but are they around because I'm thinking about them, or they're thinking about me and I think about them? It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it could be either way. I mean, it's certainly, Melissa has a great analogy that she talks about. If you're at a party and everybody's talking, and then somebody on about 6 feet away are having another conversation, and somebody mentions your name, and immediately mm-hmm. You turn your head and you go, "Oh, who's talking about me?" Well, it's the same thing with spirit. If you're here on in the physical world, and you mention their name, or they, you don't even have to speak it. If you think of them, yeah, it's the same thing. They'll go, "Oh, you're thinking about me," and they, a lot of times, will.
It's like they just appear. Like they just appear. They just come to you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with what Tom said. I mean, I look at it as, you know, they're not monitoring your life 24 hours a day. I mean, they're not watching everything you're doing, but when you are exhibiting strong emotion, whether that emotion right. is love or sorrow or anything, right. that provides a conduit and they pick up on it, you know. And I think that's sort of how they know when you're crossing over too, because they just know when your soul is releasing from your body, and it's that, and it just opens up, and that's how they know to be there to greet you. So, yeah, I think it's you can't make it happen, but mm-hmm. but they know when they're needed to give you some reassurance.
And also, something you said earlier, that you could feel he was around, but he couldn't communicate with you because of you not being a medium, and
right.
That is true. However, he can hear you. So if you feel he's around, talk to him, and then maybe suggest, "Hey, maybe in my dream you could come and we could actually see each other," type of thing.
I have, and he has come through in dreams. I have, but it's just sometimes you don't remember them; they're fleeting. It's difficult without the contact through a medium, and through the medium, it's like it's very strong.
Yes,
it's so strong that it's. Some people are frightened by it. I'm not at all. I feel that I've come to a great understanding of death, where I'm not afraid. It doesn't mean an ending, and I'm not afraid of it at all.
That's right. There's one thing when they're delivering messages to you, but often in a reading, their personality comes through. It's not what they say, but there's how they're saying it. And you're going, "Wow, that's exactly him." You know?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. But there he is.
Yeah. I mean, nothing beats a medium reading at this point, but I do, as Bob said, you know, keep an open mind, keep your eyes open, look for the little subtle things, and hopefully you will find more signs.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Susan.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Take care.
Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. We're going to go to more calls. Before we go to the next call, I wanted to read one that came in. This person said, "My oldest sister died in 2013 at age 66. Marlene was an incredibly talented artist and completely free spirit. One of the last times my husband and I saw her was in Waikiki when we dropped her off at a park near her apartment. She was smoking a cigarette and she did a little dance and sang, 'Do what you want to do, go where you want to go.' It was charming. I didn't know that song before she sang it, and I believe it was the 'Go Where You Want to Go' song sung by the Fifth Dimension in 1967,
yeah.
when Marlene was 20 years old. About a year after Marlene passed, my husband and I fixed a Christmas dinner for my elderly parents. My mother had Alzheimer's. During our holiday meal, my mother suddenly sang, do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and then just went on eating without further ado. My husband and I were astonished because it seemed like Marlene was perhaps sending a holiday greeting. She loved holidays, and the same thing happened 2 years later at a holiday meal with my parents at their retirement community, and then once again at another meal. I'm sure my mother didn't know that song, and each time she sang it out of the blue, my husband and I were amazed. It seems like Marlene has sent us a lot of signs, but do what you want to do, go where you want to go, really summed up her fiercely independent spirit and most likely contained advice for us as well.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and also significant is the fact that her mother had Alzheimer's, you know, so she was mentally impaired, and yet she's coming out with that song. So
even more significant.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
All right, let's go back to some phone calls. We have Paulie from Ohio.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, good. Welcome to the gathering.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Sure.
My daughter passed away in May, and since then I've had a very clear vision of her, which happened about 2 days after she passed. And then over the last few months, I've probably dreamed about her maybe twice, but they were just dreams. And the last few nights, I don't sleep very well anyway, and I never remember my dreams, and I usually don't dream about people. But I woke up feeling like, did I dream about her? Was she in my dream? Was there something going on? And I just don't know what that means. I couldn't remember a single thing. And I'm just wondering, was there something there?
Did you email that to us as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I recall, you know, reading that. And, you know, I did want to address that. I think that sometimes, you know, we have these visitation dreams that you do remember, and they're very significant. And in those dreams, you could talk to your loved one, or you could hug them and smell them and kiss them, and as if they were there. And those are really significant forms of after-death communication. And then there are other dreams, and the reason I remember your email, because that happens to me a lot now too, and that I'm having kind of a discombobulated regular dream, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the dream, my loved one pops in for no real apparent reason, you know. So the way I look at it is that they're trying to get through, but they're, you know, that my mind is rehashing all the events and fears and things that I have, things that I wanted to remember, but they still want to get through to say hello. So they pop in anyways, so, you know, so I think that maybe you're getting these pop-ins just to say hi, but be prepared for the full blown ones, because they'll come as well.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of signs anyway, but I'm just wondering, is this just a weird thing that I just can't remember my dreams, or is she trying to communicate?
Communicate at all. So, you know, most people do not remember their dreams at all. I mean, and that's why when you have these visitations, they're so significant, because it's the opposite, you know, that you remember everything. And then as you know, Tom and Melissa will tell you, I mean, write them down.
Yes.
You know, keep a ledger on your night table. And if you, you know, if you get them, even these other dreams that you're having, it might help to write them down. But if you get a dream visitation, you certainly want to write it down, because even though you will remember them, you know, years might go by and you might be feeling sad. And then you just pick up your ledger and you say, wow, you know, so it gives you some reassurance and renewed hope. So.
Yes, good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and pleasant dreams to you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, while we're taking calls, let's go to Angie from California. Hello, Angie.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to share a sign that I did receive from my daughter. I lost her. I was pregnant. I was 20 weeks pregnant, 5 months when I lost her. So I have dreamt about her, and I've come to learn that her spiritual color is yellow. So one time when I was driving my son to basketball, you know, I asked her for a sign just to let her know, you know, she's with us. And on our drive over there, a car like got in front of me, like almost like wanting for me to, you know, to pay attention to this car. So he got in front of me, and I looked at the license plate, and the license plate numbers were all in yellow, which is her color. Mm. And then it said 716. So it was spelled 7 and then 16, and that's her birthday.
Oh.
July 16th. Oh, so I definitely took that as my sign, not only her birthday, but also her color.
Yeah.
So that was very special. And I told my son, take a picture. Like, I wanted to have that picture. So I treasure that picture. And after that, I got pregnant again. And unfortunately, I also lost my baby. And a few weeks after that, I went outside and I was asking my baby for, you know, for a sign to let me know that she was with my other daughter I had lost, Leilani. So I asked her, please send me a sign so I know that you both are together. So right away, a tiny little white butterfly flew right in front of me. So I took that as my sign. So from then forward, I called her my little white butterfly.
Mm.
A few days ago, we went to the store just to pick up some random stuff, a quick stop. And as we were headed towards the self-checkout, I happened to glance over at the women's section, and up against the wall was a sweater hanging with white butterflies.
Oh, wow.
So I knew I had to buy this white, you know, this sweater with the white butterflies. So I bought it, and on our drive home, I was just thinking, you know, how special it was that, you know, I found this white butterfly sweater without even looking for anything like that. So I took that as a sign for my little white butterfly. And as we got home, you know, it has been raining these past few days. We got home, and when I stepped out my car, there was a puddle on the floor, you know, a water puddle, and it was in shape of a heart. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is confirmation that, you know, my little white butterfly is coming through. Not only that, I got home, I was so happy, like, oh my gosh, I'm getting all these beautiful signs. So I wanted to take a picture with this sweater on. So I took a few pictures, and I, you know, I couldn't decide, I wanted to post the story, and I couldn't decide which picture to use. So as I'm glancing through my pictures, I noticed the time on one of the pictures I took. It was at 5:27 p.m. My little white butterfly, I lost her May 27th, which is 5:27. So I took that as my sign, as that's the picture that she liked, and that's the picture she wanted me to post.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing those. And most importantly, now you know that they're together, right?
Yes. Yeah. For sure. They're definitely together.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And it also is also, you know, amazing that, you know, chronological age doesn't mean anything on a soul level, you know, when you're in the afterlife. So they can communicate with you and send you signs the same way that you'll be able to do to your loved ones when your time comes. So it's wonderful. We're glad that you get those signs, and I hope you get many more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Have a good evening, and thanks for sharing.
You too. Right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bob, can I read? I came across a slip of paper today that was in Tom's handwriting.
Yeah.
And he had dated it October the 8th, 2010. And his mom had died on October 5th. So 3 days after Tom's mom died. Let me put on these big aviator glasses to read this. And I recalled the incident. So we were driving near our home down past, in our area, Bob, you might recall Park Avenue. Yeah. But there's sort of a town park. And on the corner of this town park, which is really just big empty land with some trees, some artists have chosen to start putting up some interesting artwork structures on the corner of the property. And on this, and it was, it hadn't happened previously, but since then there have been more pieces added. But on this date, we're driving by, and suddenly to the right of us, I notice there's a life-size horse statue erected in the park. And I know that Tom's mom was a fan of that racehorse that they made a movie about. We all went to see it.
Seabiscuit.
I was going to say an S name, Seabiscuit. So I looked at the horse, and I said, hey, that's new. It must be for Mom. And then suddenly a van pulled up with a license plate that said Second Life right beside us. And the and that vehicle had horse decals all in the back window.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you know, I know that exact, I used to drive past that horse sculpture all the time. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Sometimes someone puts a wreath of flowers around its neck.
Yeah.
But it was funny that I just found this slip of paper.
Yeah, interesting.
Today.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. We're talking about signs, so that was.
And the value of writing it down. I had forgotten about that story. So had I had that in a journal, I could have read through. And but I did write it down.
Yep. And dated it.
Yeah. So, question that came in: my loved one, whom I was very close to, was shy and not particularly open and talkative, especially with strangers. Will it potentially be more difficult for a medium to hear much from them in a reading once they have made a connection, or even difficult to make a connection? It's a two-part question. So the other part of that is, secondly, I want to ask my loved one questions. Are mediums open to the sitter asking their loved ones questions and then listening for answers, or does it depend on the medium? What kinds of questions are they most likely to be able to interpret answers to? For example, can there be specific questions about what happened in the past, such as the time of the transition or the time during the person's lifetime? So let's break that down. The first question is a good one because it gets asked frequently, is that if somebody was not open and somewhat shy in their physical life, does that carry over? I don't know the answer, but I know a lot of mediums have said in readings that your loved one is very shy and standing off in the back and prefers to let everybody else come forth. So you've heard that, right? At various, sure. But then again, we've also heard from people that were reserved, and they're very active in communicating. So I don't think there's any hard and fast rule to that. But we have heard what this person is saying, that I don't think it's more difficult for the medium to make the connection. Maybe they just get shorter answers,
I think in that case, you would probably want to do a one-on-one reading.
Just what I was going to say, yeah.
The medium, because I have often seen, we have what we call gallery readings, where one medium will read a room of 50 people, and they will even say, well, your mother's coming through like gangbusters, because that's the way she always was. And so if you have someone who was shy, they may not come through in a gallery reading so much. But if you're one-on-one with a medium and they're a good it's not a matter of being a good medium or not. It's a matter of whether your loved one's spirit connects with that particular medium. There are good mediums who some spirits, they're just not on the same wavelength, almost quite literally, really. And so that's a variable that we can't say hard and fast there are. But in this situation, I would just have to say you'd want to have a one-on-one reading with the medium if your loved one was shy?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, the second part of the question, are mediums open to the sitter asking their loved ones questions? Well, you know, some mediums are. I mean, we always advise sitters not to divulge information, you know, and not to ask, you know, questions, because we're trying to avoid the medium picking up on cues that you're giving them, because the question might be leading and giving the medium, you know, information. We much prefer it when the medium gives the information to you about their transition and, you know, and things of that nature. Having said that, I've seen a lot of mediums after the reading is over, you know, and, you know, before they're closing the reading and saying goodbye, the medium will say, do you have any questions, you know, before you go? And then they might field the question or two. I mean, we don't allow that when we certify mediums in the process, but I don't see anything wrong with it once the reading is done and you've already gotten your evidence. And sometimes, and you know, the sitter will just come out with it and say, by the way, can you tell me my loved one's name, because they didn't mention it before. More often than not, the medium can't, because if they did, they would have said it already. But sometimes other information, you know, comes through. So that's what I would say to that.
I would add that you touched on it, that you should wait a little bit, make sure that the medium is actually communicating. You know, by giving yes or no answers, they might come up with a dazzle moment where you go, oh my gosh, they couldn't possibly know that. That must be my loved one. Then, you know, after you get a couple of those, then you might relax a bit and say, well, you know, this medium seems to be legit. So let me ask, you know, where did I leave my car keys? You know, and as Bob says, a lot of mediums, they get their information in different ways. They're not hearing sentences necessarily. Sometimes they're seeing pictures that are symbols that they recognize. So it may be very difficult for many mediums to get too specific, but it doesn't hurt to try.
You know, I was reflecting on different experiences I've had, and I have not had too many personal readings in my life, but thinking that what the caller said earlier about having a conversation with their loved one, that's how I went into one of the medium readings that I was gifted with, just wanting to have a conversation and not really me testing the medium's ability at all. So it made me think that if some people have mediums they return to over and over again, and, you know, the medium has gotten to recognize their loved one's spirit entity, it's a familiar feeling to them, which we sometimes hear. But it got me now, and I was thinking, oh, that's, you know, that might be a really nice experience then, that you, the medium is already familiar with your loved one's spirit and energy. But then it got me to think, as a sitter, when that medium shares information, would I remember that just wasn't something that had already come up in a previous reading, that maybe they were now repeating back to me? So it's tricky. It's very tricky.
It is. And, you know, and just to follow up on what you said, a lot of mediums will tell us that they never, ever remember, you know, a reading that they did in the past. But others, I mean, I've watched them do readings when they read somebody before, and clearly some mediums do remember, you know, information. So you're right, it's tricky and it's different. This person said that he was told by a medium that he had clear sight. And he didn't understand what the medium meant by clear sight. But he goes on to say that in his dreams, though, he can see great detail. And he told me to pay attention to my dreams. And then I began to realize what he meant by clear sight, because his loved one started to visit him, you know, in his dreams. He also mentions that in his dreams, he's sometimes conscious that he's actually in a dream and he can do things such as flying around. And that's called lucid dreaming. And that's a lot of people have that. And as he said in his email, it was a pretty cool experience flying around, you know. So, yeah, that's great, you know, and treasure that. So I guess you certainly have clear sight in your dreams. So, yeah.
I had a guitar player once who said he could do lucid dreaming, you know, pretty much all the time. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. So I experimented with it, and I was able to do it a couple of times. When you're in a dream and you think you're in a dream, there are things you can do. Like if you look at a something written down, and then you read it, and then you turn your head away and you look back, if it's a dream, it won't say the same thing. It'll be different. And of course, you're, as this caller or the letter says, that's the first thing I wanted to do. I said, okay, well, I'm going to fly. And there, all of a sudden, I'm off the ground and I'm flying. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I only did it a few times and I haven't done it since, but it does happen and it is fun.
Yeah, and I know there are a lot of courses that people could take, and there are people that teach lucid dreaming, and there's quite a number of books that have I think one author is Stephen LaBerge, who wrote a lot about lucid dreaming. So I haven't tried it myself, but a lot of people, as Tom was able to do, can actually teach themselves to do it. You know, you can also have a lucid dream within a dream visitation, you know, because, I mean, I won't get into it, but you remember the story where I had somebody come to me while I was dreaming. It was a visitation dream.
Wow.
But I knew that I would have to contact this child's parents. So while I was in the dream, I was making a mental note to pay attention to all of the details. So I was able to interact within my visitation, you know, dream, and those details, you know, proved to be right. So it doesn't, you know, it can happen in, you know, any time, you know, even when you think you can't do that stuff, right?
Certainly. You know, you're reminding me, Bob, a dream visit, possibly. Well, I still remember it, so I guess it was a dream visit, very short. But my dad was in it and surrounded by a group of people, and as if he was moving through a crowd, and these people who were interested in him and what he had to say were surrounding him, which, you know, kind of was the life he led in the physical form. But in my dream, seeing my dad, I, rather than approach him, I was like, I've got to find Bob and Fran so I can ask them what I should ask my dad. And that was about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, also in these dream visitations, and probably a lot of people listening will be able to relate to it, because I've heard it a lot and it happened to me. The first time that I had a dream visitation from my daughter, the first thing that I said to her is, do you know that you're dead? You know, because, here she was in front of me, but I knew, you know, that she also had died, and I'm trying to reason that out. So, you know, I wanted, and I don't remember what her answer was. I have it in a ledger somewhere when I wrote it down. But I've heard that from other people, you know, that's the first thing, because it's so amazing, you know, that you want to know if they know that they're not, you know. So, let's see. We had one question. Somebody says, do mediums ever talk about aliens? Certainly not in a reading, you know, because how would the sitter verify that information? But in personal conversations that I've had with mediums, those certified by a foundation, I think a lot of the mediums do believe, you know, that there's life out there and alien life. I don't know whether, I don't think I've ever asked them if they communicate with them.
And we've read a lot of books written by the mediums, at least that we've certified, and other mediums, and I don't recall that ever coming up. Do you, Tom?
No, that's.
But I love the idea. I love the idea of it.
Well, then again, you know, it would be really cool if we asked some of the mediums to communicate with non-earthly. So, but they're communicating with non-earthly entities all the time. But those entities happen to have originated on Earth. But what about those that don't? So, you know, the next thing you know, we're going to have Joe, the alien medium. You know, it's like, you know, everybody's a lot of these nicknames, you know, that the mediums have for themselves.
I'll have to remember to ask that during the next panel discussion at one of the retreats.
Yeah, you'll have to. That's a Liz question. That's an inside joke, but I did an interview with Liz last night, so it's on my mind.
Really? Yeah.
A question was, you know, can people who are in comas or unresponsive, you know, hear us when we speak to them? And I believe that they can.
Yeah.
A lot of not necessarily physicians, but a lot of nurses and hospice people believe, you know, that you can. And, you know, our feeling, which I know you'll agree with me, is that even though the brain apparatus is not working properly, the signal is still coming, you know, so they're not hearing, they're not interpreting it with their physical brains. You know, because the radio is broken, but the signal's still coming in, and they're hearing it on a different level. Their mind is hearing it, their soul is hearing it, but not their physical brain. So, yeah, I mean, we always counsel people to talk to their loved ones, even when they think that their loved ones are not hearing them.
Yeah, Tom, but interestingly, I was just part of a seminar. The other day, and I think it perhaps was a hospice worker saying the same thing you did, Bob, but saying that hearing is the last of the senses to go. So even if a loved one is not responding, always keep talking. Always.
Yeah, when my father was near death, he had a massive stroke and he was in the hospital, and we saw the brain scan. There was nothing left, and he was unconscious, unresponsive. And, but I was sitting there talking with him, and there were times when I would say something that was significant and he would move. And the doctor would say, well, you know, that's just a just, you know, the right. Doctors are filled with
reflex.
Just.
But
it only happened about two or three times when I was in the room with him, and they were all right after I had said something extremely significant. Basically, I was telling him that I would look after his wife, my mom, and take care of her, and that it was okay that he let go and, you know, move on and that sort of thing. So I wanted to speak to him in that way. I think it brought him peace, and I'm sure he heard me, and I'm sure he even reacted to me, even though the doctors say he couldn't.
Well, I have a personal proof of this is true, because when my son and my daughter were involved in a car accident, and, you know, my son was in a coma, and while he was in a coma in the hospital, not only was my son's girlfriend there at the time, but my son's girlfriend's father, who Jonathan was close to, was there and was sitting by his bedside virtually around the clock. And the guy would never stop talking to Jonathan, you know, on the theory of what we're talking about. You know, you can hear him, and he's talking about all of this stuff constantly, constantly, constantly. And the day comes and we see John's, you know, eyes flutter and he's coming out of his coma. And the first, his first words out of his mouth, you know, he said, John, can you hear me? And he looks at his girlfriend's father and he said, you are the biggest pain in the ass. You never shut up. You know, so he was talking like, I mean, for 3-4 days and like, he must have been driving him nuts, even though he was in a coma, you know. And of course, the father said, you know, those are the sweetest words anybody ever said.
That's so nice. You
know? So, I mean, so that's my personal proof anyway.
And of course, there are reams and reams of case studies of people who have had near-death experiences where they are flatlined on the operating table, no brain activity, nothing, not even a heartbeat, and yet when they are revived, they come back and they tell what they saw in the room, what the nurses were talking about, even things that are on other parts of the hospital. So yeah, and again, your soul doesn't die. So if your body is in that state, your soul is still there. And if you talk to the person, they will hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what you mentioned, you know, is really compelling evidence in those near death experiences, because material science can't explain it, and the doctors just dismiss it. Mm-hmm. But it's not possible, you know, to have that, to hear conversations and have these clear lucid experiences when your brainstem is shot, you know, and you're clinically dead. So how? You know, how do you explain something like that? So it really does show, as Tom was saying, that we are much more than our physical brains, you know, and that our minds extend, you know, beyond our bodies. We don't have a lot of time to get into it, but there was one somewhat related question. Why do some people seem to rally just before they die? I've experienced that. Many other people have told us about it. There's no physical explanation. There's a term for it called, you know, terminal lucidity, you know, I had it with my mother-in-law. You know, she couldn't communicate at all. And she, you know, you couldn't have a conversation with her. She just like sat there in the facility. And then, you know, I show up one day and she's having a conversation with me, like nothing ever happened. Like, you know, when can you please take my taxes over to H&R Block? You know, I mean, I couldn't even say one, you know, and I remember calling up France saying, you gotta get down to the hospital. Like there's a miracle taking place, you know? And of course it lasted for like 24 hours and then she reverted back and, you know, she never spoke again. So how do you explain that? You know, I mean, you can't explain it on a physical level. The doctors can't explain it. So if you can't explain it on a physical level, there has to be a spiritual explanation. You know, perhaps we're given that one last go around to say things to our loved ones and communicate, right?
Like, before I go, I just want to one more word.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely. I've watched interviews with hospice nurses and that's one of the things that comes up fairly often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's, of course, that they know that the end is near then when that happens.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that story. It's too long to share right now, but it was our friend whose mom, it was unbelievable. This woman had been being treated for, I think it was some form of cancer, drove herself to her doctor's appointment at Stony Brook Hospital here on Long Island. The doctors at the appointment tell her there really isn't further treatment they can give her. And she then was directly taken to hospice. Now that sounds to me kind of unbelievable, but this friend was an elementary school teacher and a very reliable reporter, but she just spoke about her mom and I'm realizing this is getting off topic, but it was just such a beautiful story that, you know, her mom's now getting settled into hospice, and the whole family has been just to see what's going on. Friend walks into the room just to see how mom's doing, and she sees her mom trying to get out of the bed and saying, "I've got to go, I've got to go." And my friend thinks, "You got to go to the bathroom, mom?" And the nurse is going, "No, no, I, you know, I see this a lot. They feel the end is coming."
Yeah.
And they're going to go.
These hospice nurses and sometimes are a lot more evolved than the physicians that they work with. All right, we're almost time for the end of the show. I'm going to read Claude Swanson's Global Peace Prayer. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thoughts by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. See you next time.
Good night. Good night.